Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Episode number 350 of We Are Podcast. I'm here in Goa writing my second book, Amplify AI. Look out for that. And amazing setting. Like, I am here just outside with the waves, which is kind of ridiculous and very, very cool. But today I'm talking with Daniel Mangena. He is such a dear friend. Dan and I have gotten close over the last few months, and he's based in Dubai, so we get a chance to hang out a lot. But this episode is good for a variety of reasons, because we talk about money and the concept of money DNA. We talk about the five love languages and how we can better communicate if we know what our love language is. And it all comes down to that in podcasting, doesn't it? Because podcasting is a platform for learning, connecting with others, and how you can do that for personal development. So enjoy this episode.
You can't find your voice if you don't use it. This is We Are Podcast, formerly called Should I Start a Podcast? A podcast for podcasters who want a podcast that grows their business and brand. How many times can we say podcast in a sentence? Here's your host, Ronsley. He has interviewed more than 1,500 people, has been listened to over 5 million times in 133 countries. He has helped create over 1,100 podcasts for businesses, brands, and personalities. He's been doing this for more than a decade. Get ready to take notes. Enjoy the show.
Is that what is now programmed into your brain, that you start to put yourself in positions where you start to live the dream, so to speak, so that it reinforces the dream?
There's a concept that I teach called money DNA. And one of the principles of money DNA is understanding how to communicate with yourself internally. And the way that I map that out for people and have people map it for themselves is we use their love language. And that sounds really, really weird. There are five different ways that we most naturally communicate the energy of love. They're words of affirmation, acts of service, gifts, quality time, and physical touch. Now, one thing that I came to understand was if someone's love language is quality time, it doesn't matter how much somebody says that they love them. If they don't spend quality time with them, they're not going to receive the energy of love. But this is the thing. The person on the quote unquote receiving end doesn't sit there and say, this person is only using words and not giving me quality time. It's time for me not to feel the love. It's an automatic response because something in their unconscious takes the input of quality time and translates it to the output of feeling love. They take the input of words of affirmation and fail to get the output of feeling love. So what I came to understand from this is that love languages gives you the cheat code for understanding how to deliver a message to your unconscious that's going to generate a predictable outcome. And if we look at the love languages, each of the love languages got a key idea underneath it that makes it work. So with gifts, people think it's about spending money, but it's not. It's really the thoughtfulness of taking the time out to bring something physical. So you've got thoughtfulness and you've got something tactile, tangible. Those two principles have to be in play for someone whose thing is gifts. With physical touch, it is the physical contact, the nervous system feeling something tactile. That's important for the unconscious to receive the message. For me, acts of service is about embodiment, movement through time and space. So if I ever want to transmit something to myself or have someone transmit something to me that has a predictable outcome, there has to be a visible movement through time and space. Otherwise, it won't work.
Fascinating. It's interesting when you hear it, it sounds so simple. Think about it before. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined with Dan. Dream with Dan. I want to put that out there because I think dreamwithdan.com is where you got to find all the cool stuff that he's up to. And a podcaster for a long time, content creator, coach, author. When you introduce yourself at a barbecue, what do you say?
So making a little bit of transition at the moment, I'm spending more time working with our family's family office. So when I introduce myself, I say I'm pretty much the CIO of our family office. But what I'm really passionate about is motivational speaking and empowering people to live their dream life.
And when you think about people living their dream life, what do you think are the biggest obstacles that get in our way to even imagine what that dream life would look like?
Having clarity, but not just clarity that's yours, not clarity on something that somebody else is. When I first started to coach back in 2017, 2018, I was working with people going through midlife crisis primarily. And what was happening is I was finding people had spent 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years building a life, and then something cracked because they realized that the life that they were building wasn't what they wanted. It's what society said, what their culture said, what their parents said, what their religion said. And that was leading to unconscious habituations of behavior. And it was the resistance, the rebelling against the narrative. And so from that time, what I really came to understand is a lot of people don't understand that we all have an individual idea of what a dream life is. We have our own cognitive relationship to the idea of what a dream life is.
But how do I know if I've taken someone else's idea of success mm-hmm. versus my version of success? Because you're saying this is unconscious. You're mm-hmm. saying that we have this cognitive almost dissonance between what we really want versus what we have taken on as someone else's idea of success. How do we tell?
I think this really comes down to this idea of having a relationship with yourself, like mm-hmm. a real relationship with yourself. I do a lot of reflection work. I do a lot of introspection. I journal. So I spend time having that relationship with myself daily. And yet I still have these pockets that pop up from time to time. So someone who doesn't spend any time at all understanding themselves, having an open line of communication with what's going on within them, unless we have the open dialogue, how are we going to be in a position where you can express and I can reciprocate with what you ask for? And we're doing that with ourselves. We're just sitting there trying to be telepathic if we're even trying to do that.
So this is fascinating. I mean, so many layers there to unpack what you just said. I mean, there's this relationship with ourselves. I wrote about asking you questions about communicating with ourselves. Mm-hmm. But before I get to that, we tend to ask questions from a point of view of what we're trying to achieve. And sometimes if we're not clear on what we're trying to achieve, is the first step introspection mm-hmm. or is the first step dreaming? So I'm getting better mm-hmm. and even communicating to myself because of people like you that are asking the questions. So mm-hmm. I'm getting a chance to. So mm-hmm. what is the base layer for us? Is it introspection? Is that like a principle? Is that some way of life that we first need to figure out before we start creating these dreams? Because dream without action is just dreams.
Yeah, that's right? What dream with your eyes open really is about. So there's a couple of things I want to touch on. First and foremost, I think it's key that you have an environment that supports where you want to go, right? And that's people, places, and things. If there's someone that comes into my space and doesn't create or doesn't support, shall I say, me creating an environment where I can freely speak, and also they feel that they can freely speak so we can have that space where we're going to grow and support each other, then we're not people. The introspection then becomes a lot less challenging when all of your environment supports you being introspective and you're not just talking within yourself. These things give me the space to actually be introspective because it's not just voices going on in my head. It gets to be spoken out. From there, you've got a much more solid foundation on which to start building the visioning. But the visioning, as the way I teach it, isn't a cognitive process. Look at what you lean into when you're procrastinating. Like, what do you naturally move towards when you should be doing something, quote unquote, and you find yourself doing something else? Where do you find your energy called to naturally that makes you feel uplifted and good? We do this data collection to pull in these different ideas, and you'll find that there are central themes. Once you understand those central themes, and then you've got a space to discuss those central themes, you've got sounding boards, you've got safe spaces where you can play with them, you can then start to relate those themes to grown-up life. And it doesn't have to necessarily be career. And I think this is one thing that people lose sight of. You don't have to quit your job in order to be happy all the time. You may just need to supplement the time that you're spending outside of your job with things that light you up. Or maybe working out how to shift your work commitment so you have enough space to be able to do that. So it doesn't have to be the zero sum game. It's about bringing more of the energy in. And then as you play with that energy being in your life, finding creative ways to make it more the way that you live your life every day. It doesn't have to be all or nothing.
Yeah, I love that. I love the way you broke that down. And something I wanted to clarify, because you mentioned this safe space, and mm-hmm. something that comes up for me a lot is what is dumping and mm-hmm. putting my stuff onto others mm-hmm. versus actually being useful and having a sounding board. How do you not be, like, I don't want to put my stuff onto someone else. I think people have enough stuff to deal with anyway.
And you know what? I get it completely. And I think it's important to understand that sometimes the other person might not be able to. And I think the loving relationship between friends
yeah.
creates the bond for that to be able to happen, but also being able to know that you can lean on the person the same way too. I've got those spaces in my life where I can do the same thing.
Yeah. this comes great. This is a really good segue into what you mentioned at the start of this conversation about communicating with ourselves, because if we don't know how to communicate with ourselves, how are we going to communicate with other people?
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there must be some sort of a framework you have for the best ways to communicate with ourselves. You touched on the love languages.
It's going
to
be the love language again. So the five pillars of money DNA are the vehicle, the role, internal communication, decision-making, and action-taking. So these five pillars, I use different personality profiles in order to identify where someone's flow exists with them. And the internal communication crosses into this because it's all about how do I receive and express data that leads to an outcome that I can connect with. Hmm. And so again, me, acts of service, quality time is my second. Unless I am embodying, I'm not going to be able to hear it. Right? So me saying something without following up with some kind of action step. So understanding how you receive messages is going to tell you how to send those messages to yourself. That's going to lead to the outcome that you want to see. Mm. But it does start with understanding, again, those key ideas of what are those things with me? It's really about just gathering that data, following those breadcrumbs and seeing where it brings you.
Do you think that I want to get into the podcasting and the content creation, because I think that's the main part of this conversation, but I think setting the stage of what you do and how you do it is really important. And when you're talking about communication with yourself, you're talking about really kind of understanding yourself first, right? What are the other ways that we can find out more about ourselves and also give ourselves the space to learn more about ourselves? Because I don't know whether that is inherent in the way we were brought up, especially
probably
this
not.
Generation, right?
Probably
the previous
not.
Generation did not. So what are those things? And yes, love languages and these different ways can find our ways that we communicate. Maybe words don't mean as much to me because I know a lot of people who say things and never follow up with it, right? And that doesn't really hit. But the other ones, I can see bits and pieces of myself in all of them. So how do we get more confident with the communication we have with ourselves? Like, how is it practice? What do you...
I'd say practice and desire to actually communicate with yourself. So I always ask people to personify things. If you want to really see an idea, personify it. So probably best known around money. If money was a person, how would they feel about your relationship? Putting yourself in the shoes of the money, of the other person. It's very important. So money is a person. You are the money in the relationship and the money is you. And it treats you the way that you treat money. As a human being, how would you feel?
Wow.
So let's talk about ourselves.
Yeah.
Our inner child, right? Right? Our inner pain, our inner challenges. If that was a person that you were in a romantic relationship with and the roles were reversed, how would you feel?
Fascinating.
Right? If your inner child or that part of you that you're seeking to communicate with, however you want to frame it, if that part of you was a person and you were in relationship with that person, how would you want to be treated? How would you want to be spoken to? How would you want to be dealt with? And play with that. Start there.
That's crazy, because I feel that is the crux of what I'm going through here. It's just so different to me in other places. And I've already started afresh in Australia, and then coming here and starting fresh, it's so different to what I'm used to. I'm used to having people around. I'm used to having all these different options, which I was suddenly finding myself
back to square one.
Back to square one. And I think that inner child conversation is so important, because I keep coming back to that. And again, it's only because I've had practice over the last decade communicating with myself and sitting in silence and doing these really would sound like a waste of time, but it's not. It's so powerful.
Key.
It's so key. Now with artificial intelligence, I'm finding it easier to communicate with machines, to communicate with people. And that's a huge insight, even for myself, to kind of go, wait, it's easier for me to communicate with a computer as opposed to communicate with a person. I need to learn how this communication works, and not only for the person, but for me. And that personification is so powerful, because I feel like even that might fit into the new book that I'm writing on artificial intelligence, because it all comes down to that, because consciousness is that bottom layer. If we don't raise the consciousness, then nothing else.
Remember, we're saying that, like, what we're dumping into, what we're training AI to be.
Right.
Hey, it's Mick Hawes, host of The Toolshed. I love making my podcast, and that's primarily because Ronsley has helped me avoid a whole bunch of really basic mistakes that would have cost me a whole bunch of time, money, and energy. And Rons has compiled a list of these mistakes and how to avoid them, which is really a steal. You can get your copy where I downloaded mine at mistakes.wearepodcast.com. That is mistakes.wearepodcast.com. We Are Podcast. You can't find your voice if you don't use it.
Let's talk about the podcast.
Yep.
You've done a variety of podcasts, different versions of a podcast. Take us back to when you did the first one.
Yep.
Take us back to what made you start it.
So a lot of people that do the personal development-y kind of help people side of things, I was living my best life. Like I was living my best life, Ronsley, having come through some challenging times and everything was settled. I'm going to finish this book I've been working on and that's what I'm going to do. Like I tried to do this deal. And I'm a firm believer in not waiting for other people to make things happen. Like, I just find a way to make it happen, right? And so I was like, well, nobody's just going to give me speaking engagements. So I need to demonstrate that I can speak.
Yeah.
And so that was doing my own events, which I was spending my own money, flying around the world, putting on events, my own stage, inviting, begging people to come for free. And then that evolved into people inviting me and paying me. And the podcast was another way for me to have conversations and to communicate with people. And back in 2017-18, when I first started podcasting, everybody didn't have a podcast, right? So there was a differentiator as well. So yeah, it was creating that space. And then also what I was finding was I wanted to connect with people and have conversations with them. And it's easier to ask someone to come on a podcast than to ask them, can I have a meeting with you? Right? Because there's an interest. And so people that I wanted to learn from, learn with, communicate with. And then off the back of that, there was conversations I was having with people.
Let's talk about the different versions of the podcast before I get into what you're up to now. How did you start? Like, and what was it called? Did you change the name?
No, so I've been doing it with Dan. So basically, I was originally going to do a podcast completely unrelated to any of this with a mate of mine. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do a podcast. I'm like, yeah, let's do a podcast. Yeah, I'm a podcast. And so I had all the assets and stuff designed for that. And then he and I ended up not doing it, but I had do it with Dan already done. I had like a intro and all this kind of stuff. So Do It With Dan was the main podcast. And then in about 2021, I think, maybe late 2020, I started to have more entrepreneur based conversations happening and I wanted to separate them. And so I started the Beyond Success podcast, which is really more about entrepreneurship. And so those two have been running alongside each other since then.
So you have two podcasts.
I have two.
You have two podcasts. The question that pops to my mind is why Do It With Dan is the name of the podcast versus Dream With Dan being the...
So because Do It With Dan existed before Dream With Dan was a concept.
I see.
And I had considered rebranding it to Dream With Dan, but actually I just enjoyed Do It With Dan. It just rolled off and it was easy for people to remember.
Do you, in your mind, can you separate how the content for each of these pieces are different? How is the content from Dream With Dan different from Do It With Dan? And how is Do It From Dan different with Success? What was the name of it?
Beyond Success.
Beyond Success podcast.
So Do It With Dan really didn't have deep intentionality. It was, like I said,
rep. Let me get it done.
Done. Cool conversations with cool people.
Yep.
Right. It was sharing cool things, ideas. It was sharing clips and a way to serve. And that's just what it was. And so Beyond Success had more intentionality. And I think that's to do with the intentionality. It's like you go to Beyond Success specifically for this thing. Whereas Do It With Dan, you might like this conversation, but the next conversation might not actually be relevant for you because there's no coherence between them. It's just me having cool conversations with cool people. Right. Beyond Success is very, very specifically empowering people to be conscious, expansive entrepreneurs, letting them hear conversations from people who are on that path, learn something new, sharing tips, content, whatever, around that, specifically around your entrepreneurship. And then the Dream With Dan is really specifically about empowering people to live an abundant, joyful, purpose-driven life. It's very, very specific.
Intentionality is something that comes up a lot when you're talking about the podcast and even the success of the podcast. If you look back at the content you've created, whether it is for a specific podcast or a specific brand, what kind of ROI can you see?
So I'm in a very interesting position in that I'm more financially successful outside of this than I am inside of it. The content that I've created has never really been about getting an ROI financially. It's always been more of an ROI energetically, yeah. Right? And so have I made millions through the podcasts? Yeah, over the years, definitely. But that wasn't the intention, right? Could I have made more if I'd been more focused? Probably.
Or more intentional.
But it wasn't what the aim of the game was.
Sure.
With it.
So you would say that the podcast return on relationships, return on content.
Yeah. Like,
but not necessarily return on investment.
I've had return on investment for sure.
Yeah.
It's definitely in the seven figures. But I wouldn't say that that was my goal. That was my intention.
Most creators
are
like that. Mm-hmm. And they find it hard to sort of bring it together. Mm-hmm. But intentionality is one of the things mm-hmm. that I have seen the biggest impact mm-hmm. on success or failure mm-hmm. of a podcast. But that's the quickest way to not get a return on the investment mm-hmm. because everything is that intentional mm-hmm. and it comes with the territory. Mm-hmm. So, and also I want to say that pod fade, mm-hmm. which is a total term in the industry, is a thing that we all go through. Mm-hmm. Like the podcast that got me famous, it still gets like 10,000 downloads and even more mm-hmm. a week. Mm-hmm. But I knew that it was a time to let it go. And mm-hmm. I think that comes with the reps. You realize what kind of distance you feel because you've done the reps and you're making a very educated decision on what your new path is, what mm-hmm. your focus is, what your intention is. And a lot of the times when you start, you need the reps to figure out how or what your intention is going to be.
So 100%.
You're in a perfect position. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about I'm taking a break. Mm-hmm. What were the different things that led to that? Mm-hmm. And was there any resistance?
No, I just needed space. I had a lot going on the business side that I had to take care of. And so I think it's important when you are really doing it for the energy that you want to share with people, then you're going to make sure the energy is in the right place. And during that time, I actually sat and reflected on what is it that I want to do with it? Do I want to come back to it? But it's tending to find itself kind of squared very much on the idea of the relationships between men and women, the roles of men and women, masculine and feminine energy. But then you have the other side of the movement, which is the more, oh, they're all misogynists, they're all this, they're all that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm, for me, observing this, what I was seeing is, like, for example, I shared a clip by one of these characters. I'm not going to say which one because I don't want to get canceled because that is real.
Yeah.
I said one and one of my mates was like, you're really brave to share that. I'm like, no, what was being said in this clip was my stand by it. I don't know what else they had to say. And I think I even mentioned it on the post. I don't know what else they have to say. I don't know what's going on in their private lives. Most people don't know what's going on in the guru's private lives. Like, who knows what Oprah really does on her island? Like, I don't know. Like, a lot of people took pictures of Epstein that we thought, and we don't know that it doesn't necessarily mean that they were partying with Epstein. Right. I've taken pictures of people that I'm never going to see again. Doesn't mean that we're intimately connected to each other, right? But the bottom line is that the thing that person had to say was true for me in that moment. And so you've got that side, but then you've got on the other side, the like, you can't, anything that's associated with masculinity or being a man is like misogynistic. And I just find that there's the polarity points between the two are very, very far removed and there's space for voice in the middle. And so I've really been sitting with, because I find that I'm able to add some substance to the softer side and bring some softness to the harder side. And I think that there is a need, I think, for a voice in that middle. You can't say that or have conversations with people around that because everyone's a bit too touchy. And on this side, oh, if you don't do this, you're not a real man. Well, actually, I quite like being nice to my woman, actually.
Yes.
I quite like to get them flowers from time to time. Doesn't make me a pussy or whatever. So where's the voice in the middle?
Yeah.
And how does that voice in the middle support men being the container that contributes to society moving forward, higher level consciousness, more supportive, more growth mindset? And that's kind of where I'm sitting with. And so the break gave me space to consider how the work I have been doing, the experience that I've gotten, so on and so forth, some of these other voices and bringing collaborative conversations into the middle. And that's kind of what I've been sitting with.
I love that you ended that sentence with collaborative conversations because, mm-hmm. and here's my thesis, mm-hmm. we've had this collaboration and wisdom for centuries mm-hmm. and millennia. And colonialism came and made it this or that. And what happened was the colonialists mm-hmm. came to the Americas, came to the Africas, came to the Indias, came to all these Australias mm-hmm. and said, your version of the world is uncivilized. Mm-hmm. Let me teach you mm-hmm. the new way, the first world way. Mm-hmm. And now we're looking back at the first world way going,
that wasn't the best way after all.
That is definitely not the right way. And AI is learning from this, mm-hmm. which makes our voices and the wisdom of our ancestors mm-hmm. so important to capture. So when we are talking about communication mm-hmm. and we're talking about this wisdom, how do we tread that line? I mean, you just in this conversation were scared to say something because of being canceled. Mm-hmm. 2 days ago, I made a post mm-hmm. on Facebook that lost its mind, and it was, is self-diagnosing yourself with ADHD the new cool? That was it. Literally,
you're a brave man.
Someone even said that, you're a brave man. Yeah. And the reason for me saying that mm-hmm. is to open up a conversation. And it was a question. Mm-hmm. So we had all these people say all these different things. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're talking about. And I'm sitting there standing back and looking at all these people, all white, by the way, mm-hmm. having all these opinions. Mm-hmm. However, when this happened to colored people, there was no way to put a diagnosis on them. Mm-hmm. It was, oh, they are lazy. Mm-hmm. They don't know what's going on. They're uncivilized. Let's do this and show them and educate them the right way. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
So this is the thing with me, Ronsley. I don't really waste my energy in spaces where there's not going to be a conversation. That's the long story short. People try to have arguments with me because I don't speak up about issues. But first and foremost, I don't pour energy into something that I want to be expanded, because where you place your attention, you place your energy. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with activism. I think it's actually counterproductive. Oh. I don't agree with, from an energetic perspective, I don't agree with putting light on issues. I believe in putting light on solutions, which doesn't require the solution. It doesn't require the problem. It just requires a solution. Mm-hmm. Controversial, don't really care. Unless you're prepared to have a civilized conversation about why you find it controversial, then I've got no time for you, is the long story short. I don't argue with people. If someone is so convinced that what they have to say is correct, they're not prepared to be open to another perspective on it, they're welcome to their opinion. I never go into a conversation believing that I'm right. I go into a conversation ready to hear what the other person has to say, and I'm open to have it shifted. That's me. Unless somebody meets me there, I'm not into it. Sure. So when I don't, when I avoid cancelable posts or conversations, it's not from fear. It's because I don't have the energy for it. I have those conversations in spaces where I can have those conversations with people, mm-hmm. where we can actually converse.
Really interesting insight, because I didn't think of that. That mm-hmm. last piece of mm-hmm. people who have trauma getting mm-hmm. triggered by certain yeah. things. I never thought of that, yeah. especially making that post. And one of the things that I really want to do is create change around conversations that you don't agree with. Mm-hmm. And that's a reason for my posts, mm-hmm. especially like that. And my next post was something the lines of, you're supposed to disagree with me. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you're right. Doesn't mean I'm right.
Yeah.
And that's the idea here, is mm-hmm. that we are not, we're in a position right now where we're trying to communicate, mm-hmm. but we're only trying to communicate in a place where it's safe to communicate, mm-hmm. as opposed to we need to communicate so that we can better refine our arguments. Mm-hmm. That's my version of communication. Mm-hmm. I communicate because I want to refine my version of an argument, mm-hmm. because I don't think I'm right, just like you. Mm-hmm. Definitely don't think I'm right. But I want to open up the conversation for everyone to mm-hmm. have their say, mm-hmm. bad, ugly. So I'm going to wind up on this question, mm-hmm. change. Mm-hmm. What is your idea on how we can enact change on the planet? Because we all feel like we want to make an impact, mm-hmm. especially when you get to that top of the mountain and realize, oh, that's the bottom of the next mountain. Mm-hmm. What's the way that we can collaboratively mm-hmm. affect change?
So there's a woman called Lynn McTaggart. I was very blessed to have her on the podcast. And she did a lot of research into something that she eventually ended up calling the power of eight. And basically through a lot of scientific research and studies with like tenured scientists, they basically extrapolated that when eight people hold an idea, the fiber of reality can change. It's very, very fascinating work. But ultimately, time after time, whether it was the growing rate of a plant, or whether it was peace in a particular region of the world, when eight people held an idea, something happened. For many years, I was in a group that met every Wednesday, and we would hold different intentions for ourselves and for each other. around the same, but miracles, I literally witnessed miracles happen. It doesn't require thousands of people to create change. It requires enough people to come together in groups as small as eight, focusing on the solution, focusing on the outcome that we want, focusing on what we want to see happen and not what we don't want, not what we're tired of, not what we're trying to run away from, because that's what we're pouring energy into. If enough of us recognize that these little hubs of elevated consciousness can be the seeds that are the change, something good's going to happen on this planet.
Dan, this has been a little slice of heaven. Thank you for the time, the wisdom, and the space, because I learned a lot, especially from doing things recently that I didn't even consider. Perspective is really important. Mm-hmm. And I definitely get perspective when I'm around you. So
100%, man.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate you.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Listen to the back catalog of over 300 episodes by going to wearepodcast.com. If you're looking for something specific, let the We Are Podcast team point you in the right direction. Send us an email on podcast@wearepodcast.com. Also, if you know a business owner who has a podcast, ask them to listen. Share an episode with them. The conversations here are going to save them lots of trial, error, time, and money. Until next week, much love.